Welcome to the First Church Orlando podcast. Here you will find recordings of weekly sermons, devotions, interviews, and seminar recordings from the First United Methodist Church of Orlando. For more information about First Church Orlando, please visit our website at firstchurchorlando.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Our scripture passage for today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And last week, if you were in worship with us or you worshiped with us online, you will hear that today's scripture passage picks up right where last week's passage left off. So hear these words. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So you may have noticed that Pastor Vance is not here today. He and Kelly are taking a vacation, and so they'll be back with us next week. So if you have any issues, just wait until he's back. Does that sound good? I like that plan. But no, seriously, you can call the church office. Kelly has arranged a wonderful assortment and group of volunteers to cover the front desk, to answer the phone, and to assist with anything that comes up, as well as I am also here this week. So please, let us know if there's anything going on that we can be helpful or that the church can assist you with. Have you ever been left out? I know this is not something we like to talk about. It's a feeling that really is uncomfortable, and we would rather not have. But that feeling of being left out, of being chosen last for the team. Or if you remember in the movie Forrest Gump, when Forrest is on the school bus going to school, and he's looking for a place to sit, and all the kids keep sliding over, taking up the spaces, and they're like, "Seats taken, seats taken. You can't sit here. There's not a space for you." Have you ever had friends plan an event but not invite you? You hear stories, or worse, see photographic evidence of the event on social media, and then you go like, "Well, where did my invitation go? Did it get lost in the mail? What's happening? Why was I not invited?" You can feel alone and isolated. You may doubt your self-worth and even wonder whether these friends are ever really your friends. Have you ever felt left behind? Maybe somebody actually forgot you. They forgot to pick you up. That's happened to me before. Or maybe your work moved in a different direction, and so you were called into the boss's office and sat down and said, "We're sorry, your position is no longer available. There's no longer a space for you here at this company. Or maybe something happened in your life, something that changed you. You are no longer the same person. And maybe you no longer fit with your family or your friends or your community. You feel like you and the community are moving in different directions, and it feels impossible to find your way back together. You can feel alone and isolated and doubt whether you will ever fit with a community again. Writer Sarah Bessie has experienced this in her life. She and her husband felt God calling them to be inclusive and affirming of LGBTQ plus folks in their church. But the church did not agree. Sarah and her husband left that church where he was a pastor, and they had to start a new chapter of their lives. And of that time period, she writes what she told her husband one day during that season. She said, "I feel like I am wandering in a desert. I'm not who I used to be, but I'm not sure where I'm going next either. There isn't much out here, but a lot of space. It's scary. Like who I was has disappeared. Like God has disappeared." When I think about feeling left out or left behind, I think of the disciple Thomas that we heard in our scripture passage today. The scripture passage where Thomas gets his nickname, Doubting Thomas. I've never really liked that nickname because it makes it seem like asking questions or having doubts is sometimes somehow a problem. I don't think it's a problem to have questions. I don't think it's a problem to have doubts and to wonder, where is God in the midst of life and life situations? Because I feel like Thomas has really good reason to doubt or to feel insecure or uncertain. Last week, Pastor Vance preached about how the disciples were together in a locked room. And they had a lot of fear because they had just seen their friend, Jesus, arrested and crucified and dead, put into a grave. And they're fearful. They're afraid that they might be next. And so they're together in this room, locked in, kind of locking out the world and locking themselves in. And Jesus appears to them behind the locked doors and says, "Peace be with you." Well, Thomas wasn't there. He wasn't in the room where that happened. We don't really know where Thomas was. Scripture doesn't tell us. And so we might wonder, well, where was Thomas? Maybe he was out buying groceries for the disciples to eat. Disciples got to eat somehow, right? Or maybe he was out running some other errand on behalf of the community. Or maybe Thomas heard about a widow or some other person in distress, and Thomas went out to minister to them. Maybe Thomas was the only one brave enough to leave the locked room. Maybe he was the only one brave enough to go out into the world and to kind of listen to see what other people were saying about Jesus. To see if what those women, you know those women, Mary Magdalene and the other women that had gone to the tomb, those women had told those disciples that Jesus was risen. The tomb was empty. And some of those disciples had gone to the tomb to see for themselves, but really, can we believe women? And so maybe Thomas is the only one brave enough to go out in the community to listen, to see what's going on, to hear what other people are saying, to know if this is really true. Or perhaps Thomas was afraid. He had seen his friend Jesus die. And he was heartbroken. And so maybe he decided to like wash his hands of everything and walk away. Walk away from the community, walk away from this following Jesus business. He was done. We don't know. All we know is that Thomas was not there when Jesus first appeared to the disciples. But Thomas does come back. He comes back to those disciples. And we can imagine that when Thomas left them, when Thomas last saw them, the disciples were depressed and despondent because Jesus was dead. They thought it was all over. And so when Thomas comes back into the room, he probably comes back expecting his friends to be sad. And maybe he even prepares himself like, oh, this is going to be hard. They're going to be sad. They're going to be like Eeyore. It's not going to be fun. But he gets into the room and the disciples, they are like Tigger. They are excited. They are full of joy. They're almost like bouncing and coming out of their skin to say, we have seen the Lord. He is risen. It's just as those women said. He appeared to us. And while this is good news, it doesn't feel so good to Thomas. Thomas feels left out. He feels like Jesus has forgotten about him and left him behind. Maybe he wonders if Jesus really loves him. If so, how could Jesus appear to all those other disciples and not Thomas? Couldn't Jesus have just waited until Thomas was in the room? And then Jesus could appear? If Jesus could appear behind the locked doors, surely Jesus could have waited 5 more minutes. Thomas tells the other disciples, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. I hear some doubt. And Thomas's response, I want to see to believe. But I also hear some other things too. Thomas sounds hurt. I hear some envy and some jealousy in his response. Dr. Brené Brown offers these definitions of envy and jealousy. She says, envy occurs when we want something another person has. Jealousy arises when we fear losing a relationship or a valued part of a relationship that we already have. Envy involves a possession or something that we can have. I might be envious of people in the choir who can sing so beautifully because I don't have that gift. I don't possess that gift. I might be envious of the bells who can read the music and pick up different, have learned a skill, right? You've learned how to do this. Envious of that skill that you have learned to read music, but then to also not just read the music, but to coordinate when you pick up the bell or the chime. It's something I could maybe learn, but I could be envious of that skill or that ability. I could be envious of someone else's pair of shoes and want them for myself. Jealousy is relational fear. It's what happens when, oh no, those people are hanging out without me. What's wrong with me, or how come I wasn't invited? I feel left out. I feel like they're having more fun without me. Thomas feels both envy and jealousy. He wants the experience and the assurance that the other disciples now possess because they have seen Jesus for themselves. And he is jealous. He fears losing the relationship that he had with Jesus because he missed out. Maybe Jesus won't love him as much or want to connect with him as much because Thomas wasn't there. Perhaps Thomas even fears how this will change his relationship with the other disciples. Since he was the one that missed out, they might kind of look down on him and say, well, you didn't get to see it. You weren't there. Thomas is a full human being with full human responses. Thomas wants to be in the room where it happens. And I think we do too. So a week goes by. And we can imagine that Thomas's envy and jealousy only increase. Because those disciples, they haven't stopped talking about Jesus. They haven't stopped talking about Jesus appearing to them in the room. They've probably only continued to talk about it. And Thomas is like, really? Seriously? This again? Can we talk about something else? So a week later, they're in the room again. The doors are locked. Thomas is in the room, and Jesus appears to them and says, peace be with you. But then he also says, hey, Thomas, come here. I see you. I know you weren't in the room. Come, see my hands and my side. Touch them, feel them for yourself. Do not doubt, but believe. And Thomas answers him, my Lord and my God. Jesus shows up to Thomas. Preacher and theologian Reverend Dr. Thomas G. Long says, the risen Jesus opened himself and his life to Thomas in a way that Thomas could receive him, in a way that Thomas could move from separation to confession, my Lord and my God. Jesus shows Thomas his wounds and allows Thomas to feel them for himself. Jesus meets Thomas right where he is, in the middle of his doubts, in the middle of his envy, in the middle of his jealousy. Jesus does not expect Thomas to change or to somehow be better before Jesus shows up. Dr. Long offers, Jesus comes to people, offering himself in ways that can open their eyes and evoke belief. And so maybe, just maybe, Jesus shows up in that room again for Thomas. Jesus says, maybe there's no other way for Thomas to believe, but for me to do it again, to appear in this room and to show him my hands and my side. And so that's what Jesus does. Jesus responds to Thomas's confession with these words, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. I used to read these words and see Jesus as gently scolding Thomas for needing visual and physical proof before he would believe. But I don't read it that way now. It's funny how when you read scripture, sometimes as you read even familiar passages of scripture, you read them in a new way. You hear them in a new way. You understand them differently. I think Jesus is just stating the obvious. Thomas now believes because he has seen. Just like the other disciples, mind you. They saw and then believed. And so now too, Thomas sees and believes. And that belief is a blessing to Thomas. But here's Jesus at it again, extending that blessing beyond those that saw him. Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe. There will come a time when people will not be able to see and touch Jesus like us. And yet our belief too is blessed. Theologian Dr. Jonathan L. Walton writes, seeing is not a prerequisite for believing. Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up and offers Thomas what Thomas needs in order to believe. Jesus does not require Thomas to change. Jesus offers Thomas the gift of true belonging. Brené Brown says, true belonging doesn't require us to change who we are. It requires us to be who we are. So Jesus allows Thomas to be who he is. Jesus loves him as he is. Jesus blesses him as he is. Jesus blesses Thomas with connection. Connection is the energy that exists between people when they feel seen, heard, and valued, when they can give and receive without judgment, and when they derive sustenance and strength from the relationship. Jesus hears and sees Thomas and offers him the gift of that enduring connection, that enduring relationship. That relationship strengthens and sustains Thomas and enables Thomas to say, yes, you are my Lord and my God. And so for us today, people who have not seen, people who have not touched, Jesus still shows up and offers himself to us in ways that we can receive. And just like Thomas, Jesus doesn't wait for us to have our act together, for us to no longer have doubt or envy or jealousy. Jesus offers us the gift of true belonging, where we're enabled to be ourselves with Jesus. Who we are is more than enough. Jesus blesses us with connection. Jesus sees us and hears us and values us still. When writer Sarah Bessie told her husband that she felt lost and that God had disappeared from her, she writes how her husband responded. He said, "That's fine. That's a good husband answer. That's fine." Brian, her husband, was unbothered. "I figure God meets us in those places of space more than when we are pretending to have it all figured out or cram our souls full of our opinions and certainties. I'm not worried." Brian offered Sarah the gift of true belonging, where she could be herself with him and with God. Brian did not guilt Sarah into belief or scold her for her feelings of doubt and hurt. Brian offered Sarah the gift of connection, where Brian wasn't worried. I think his faith sustained both him and Sarah. Perhaps he believed when she could not. And eventually, God did meet Sarah in her place of space. And God continues to meet both Brian and Sarah right where they are, just as they are. What a gift to have a person in life who accepts you for who you are, right where you are, with your doubts and your fears and your wilderness wanderings. And so may it be so for us. May God meet us right where we are, however we are, whatever it is we may be feeling, whatever it is we may be going through. And may God give us just one person, like a Brian, a person who will continue to believe for us until we too see. And maybe, just maybe, we can be a Brian for somebody else. We can see someone else, we can listen to someone else and hold space for them and believe until they too believe. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks that you are not a God who expects us to have it all together before we are in relationship with you, before you will see us and know us and love us. But no, God, you show up. You show up in the least likely places and among the least likely people. You show up in the locked corners of our hearts. You show up and you offer your love and your grace, your mercy and your peace. And so we ask that you show up again. Show up again to us. Reveal yourself to us. Strengthen us and sustain us by your Spirit. Enable us to believe and to hold space for others and their journey to belief. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast and that you will listen again in the future. If you enjoyed today's message, we hope you'll subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform and share it with others on social media. For more information about First Church Orlando, please visit our website at firstchurchorlando.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If this podcast is a valuable resource to you, we invite you to give to this ministry by making a financial contribution at firstchurchorlando.org/give. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.